include them.
September 12th, 2013, part two.
A sawhorse over them? I mean, well, you don't want to have it happen again. Do you think it's going to damage them?
Oh, you're suggesting taking that
one? Yeah, vent them.
Vent them for... The ground thing is for the
train to pick up.
The
train
to move in the air. I don't know if there's a...
There's no hole there.
Okay. I'll take a look into that.
Because if it is a problem, why would we want to reset the mousetrap to go off again? Yeah, is there a way we can crack it open and... Yeah. Is there a way we can crack it open to...
Put a handrail around it.
Something, yeah. Is it worth looking into?
All right, so there's two things. Look at if you can vent it somehow, keep it safely secured, and then the other one is prepare for the ROV on the 23rd.
Nighttime.
That's all I have.
Yeah. Okay.
Thanks for the comment.
All right, so the next one is the winter maintenance. They're posted if you want to look at winter maintenance schedules. Then we had a couple add-ons. The first one is the Dallas Fish Unit shutdown. Got a MOC coming.
So what we're looking at is with this digital governor upgrade and the station service upgrades at Barrow House. Their contract is coming to an end here September 20, but they're most likely going to need an extension on it. But part of the work that they need to do is to do some interlock testing on Fish Unit 1 and Fish Unit 2. And in order to do that, they need to have a fish unit out of service for an entire shift, 8 to 10 hours, to be able to do the testing. And so I talked with them a couple days ago. I said, all right, on this extension for the contractor, do all the other work that you have to do first, because the later the better we can obviously do this fish unit work. And so they were looking at late October, early November to be able to do this work. They're willing to do it at night, maybe one fish unit at a time. And so that's what we're looking at.
I thought you were going to say, hey, we're trying to do it next week.
Yeah.
I was waiting for that, too.
Gotcha. We got you.
At first, they didn't clarify that, and I was like, are you kidding me?
So, excellent. Nice job, Bob. You got a thumbs up.
Cool.
Get the gold star for the day. Go get a brownie.
You get a chocolate brownie for that.
Just one?
Yeah. John Day, variable width, weir inspection, verbal.
What is diction a little off?
John Day.
That's me.
Mural.
It's actually, I call it fixed weir, but...
fixed weir.
There is a problem with, I think, equalizing plates, whatever they are, on the side of the weir, which is about the elevation below 160. And they actually blew up all of them last year when we were operating first time, and they were fixed subsequently in winter, but now one more is missing again.
What are we talking about?
It's a fixed weir, John Day North, Fishway entrance.
Okay.
And it's actually not the Richard's issue, because it's still continuation of the installation contract. It's a brand new weir. And one of the four plates is again missing, the one next to shore. And they want to do an inspection. There's been an investigation how this could have occurred, if the bolts were properly tightened or something. But they want to take action quickly to prevent remaining plates to get loose.
Which weir is this?
Pardon me?
160?
Mm. Yeah, 106 elevation is the Taylor's elevation, I'm simply saying. So it became, I actually found it in the beginning of August 1st, and now it's about time to inspect it again. So that's what Natalie Richard...
Is this part of the shaped entrance weir?
Yeah, variable width entrance weir. The back has got plating on both sides.
Somehow it's part of the structure of the fixed weir, which goes into the guides. It has some sort of, I'm not sure what the purpose of this was. Otherwise, there's an opening, which is fairly undesirable because it's a kind of indentation in the thickness. You know, there is a hole, basically.
Yeah. So, we have an MOC coming. This is just a heads up.
But with the fish run, Tackley and I talked about it, and John, and we're not interested in pulling that weir to
the
inspection at this time, so it will be coming later. But we did want to at least give you the heads up that this will be coming.
What I'm not sure of is what do we have out there now? Is there a big hole?
No.
Do we have water? Do we have false attraction?
It's the downstream. So the weir has upstream plates and downstream plates, and it's the downstream plates that have fallen off, but your upstream ones.
Not going through this at all.
It's probably
there's
not
a plate on the ground
anymore.
There's a plate.
It's critical to some people. It's not critical to.
Let me guess. It's a structural. It's probably a structural piece then.
Yeah, it's a more of a structural issue.
Well, is it?
It's not. It's not structural. It's a face plate.
That's a face plate.
So it's not going to buckle and
no, it shouldn't.
It's not as pretty.
But
it's just a heads up. We'll get the MOC out with all of the details and the proposed time when it will be less of an impact.
Like October?
Yes.
October.
I think what the worry was, Natalie's worry was that we're going to lose the remaining three. Because there was a question if the bolts were tightened properly, which everybody was assuming that should be.
John, they had a problem with that.
When the repair contract was issued, obviously you expect that it should be done properly, but there are some still questions if the mechanics tightened the bolts properly. Yeah,
can you buy them a torque wrench?
Or there was some vibration which loosened up the grip.
That's a lot.
I hope they're not changing my tires.
All right.
It's a kind of detail which doesn't have much consequence on fish passage, but I think it's part of the whole structure.
Yeah, that's
which is important.
Yes. Winter maintenance.
Torque wrench.
Done.
Anyway.
Yeah.
We did.
So more to come on that.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Look for the MOC. The next one is Bonneville's AFF picket leads. I guess we are. What are we doing there, Ben?
Well, as of today, we're only allowing researchers to have two leads down based on fish numbers and feedback from NOAA, who was there yesterday. We're just backing fish up with the numbers that are going through. They're back down around the corner. And the window of time when they lifted, even under this FPD criteria for this many fish, just isn't enough time to clear. So
yeah, I don't think our criteria is about a third of what this is going through right now.
Yeah. So I mean, we can do best judgment stuff like this, or I don't know if we want to put some sort of reference in the FPD to numbers, so we have something fall back on if we get record numbers like this again. I don't know. For the short term, they're using two leads. They did come out to sample today, so I don't know if we'll get some feedback from them on how they did or if it's worthwhile, I guess. But we're also, for what it's worth, potentially going to hit the temperature threshold today or tomorrow.
Pull back up again.
Yep. Yeah, it's pretty hot.
So with two leads in, did it look like there was more or less backup, I should say.
Because they didn't do it.
Have you seen
it?
I mean, what I saw yesterday was in the two leads, once they pulled the two leads, the fish in the lead pool moved out. That density dropped, but the first turning pool downstream, which is about, I don't know, 5-6 weirs down, that thing was totally stacked full of fish, and they did not get out of there. Even when they watched them put the lead back down after the half hour, we were still seeing fish pushed up out of the water by the pile of fish under them. So I mean, they were being turned sideways at the top just because of the mass of fish. It was impressive. At least there's a lot of fish in that pool. So that's not enough time. I mean, a half hour. But if you're going to lengthen that, say an hour, then you're not going to get your in time by 10:30 before you shut the lab down. So really, I think it's under these conditions, to do what we can for fish and
ladder. All right.
Well, are they having trouble getting it? I haven't heard if they're having trouble getting their sample.
Today is the first day.
It's the first day of that operation.
Yeah, I'm going to get 1% of the run.
Yeah.
All right, well.
So do we want to relook at the FPP criteria?
We can this winter. Let's find out how they did today, take a look, and then if we need to make some tweaking.
I'm sure it's going to be a discussion point, but I think we should open it up. I mean, we just didn't, when we set up all those criteria, we just never seen anything like this before. So, I mean, there's a couple of things that I want to bring out. That's one of them, is how you trap fish in these kind of conditions. the other is how we split flows and fish to different ladders.
So some additional skill of delts.
Yeah, it's not going to like what I have to say.
Maybe some additional skill of monocle too.
I think we have to open up that discussion and look at it. At some point, I want that on the agenda to talk about.
Hey, you know, there's a document called BIOP, I think it's called.
Yeah.
You know, there might be some RPA.
It's out there in draft, and everybody's free to comment. I wish you would.
Can I borrow some of those tomatoes to throw at it?
Well, yeah, write something up.
I will. No, we're putting it, we're,
yeah,
we're working on comments.
On things like this. But we can do what we can with the tools.
So I guess if there's anything alarming from this operation, we'll hear about it, see if they got their fish, and I guess you guys are going to look and see how it's functioning with the, if there's a big backup or not.
If you keep this meeting going long enough, I'll be the last one here in about another hour.
I can make this meeting go at least two more hours.
Excellent. You have that skill set.
Thank you. So let's move on to 3-3, which is research fitterwig updates. Got anything? Mr.
Well,
John?
Let's keep rolling with AFF.
You want to talk about some dead fish?
Yeah.
Nice.
And what you guys saw.
Well, what we saw, what Trevor took a look at, one of the fish had a tag that was released and then found layers of morph on down 15 drain. And we took a look, he took a look at the history of that fish, and we saw that it had gone upstream through the detectors in the serpentine section. It was at the flow control section, upper sectional ladder above the count station. And it somehow managed to fall back
through the system to get double detection.
It was detected four times up there.
All the antennas, it was detected at B03, which is downstream of the AFF, through all the antennas at 7. And then assuming that it was tagged after that, and then actually, I don't even know. It couldn't have been tagged after that. That's the thing that doesn't make any sense to me. It was detected at B03 all through all those antennas. So first, somehow it went through there first, and then it was detected at B04 through all those antennas after that at 9 o'clock.
And then it was found.
And then it was found after that in the AFF. Yeah. So I don't understand how that sequence went.
Well, John was fishing the ladder, and he caught it, and those were pit tags, so he threw it back in the ladder. So if you get rare fish to quit fishing in the ladder, you might have an opportunity.
The thing that makes sense to me is that it was tagged, it fell back through B03, went back through B03, got detected again, and it went back up to B04, at the very top end of the serpentine section, and then fell back through the ladder, died, and then ended up in the...
I guess the point that I saw that caught my attention was the fact that it had died somewhere up there, probably ended up in AFF drain. And so, what are the odds of that? If I talked to Ed Meyer about that, and he was thinking, well, you know, if you'd have come up and said, what's the odds of a dead fish ending up in there from the ladder, it's pretty slim. Yeah, this one made it. So the thought was, well, why don't we put pit tags in? We've got a lot of dead fish.
You don't need a pit tag, a floor tag.
So we're pit tagging, and, well, it'd be both.
Well, the tag would be good for, you know,
where do they go?
UMT or something.
Well, you want a UMT Cascade Island and you know, staying in the ladder and going on down. You're going to have that. So shove a tag in. I talked to the QuickFit folks. They had extra tags yesterday and said, let's tag 30 warts. I mean, we're getting bounty yellows.
See, you have a question.
They're there a few days. So,
Gary, is there any chance that that's going to get stuck somewhere you don't want it to be?
Probably not.
Okay.
You know, probably
hasn't
not
happened yet.
They're going to float on down.
Maybe that's a risk here.
Well, there's, you know, throwing fish in a ladder with that many fish in is kind of a concern too. But and you know, you want to do that kind of late in the day, so the runs drop down a bit. The tourists don't want you throwing that fish.
We discussed that with UI, and they are willing and ready to do that starting today. That's something we want to pursue. Where we want to.
What I've heard, you know, we got all these fish showing up in the AFF. What I've heard from folks is, well, you know, they're probably coming in from the ladder itself and maybe not dying within the AFF system. This would be a way to address that question. Because there may be, looking at the hydraulics in the pool where the AFF ladder enters the main ladder, it could be that the way those hydraulics are, it might actually push fish into that entrance. And we may be seeing fish that have died in the ladder and are floating up in the AFF. Maybe not. This would be a way to test it. It's fairly simple. It's cheap.
I'm curious if low impact on fish. Do we have any reports of account station?
Nope.
Yeah, I wonder, are fish really dying in the last.
Well, talking to the cryptic folks, they don't see anything on the pickup leads when they left them, and you might expect fish to be stuck on there. Right. So probably
but
not.
That's difficult to see. There is a walkway greeting over those.
Then the flow could push them off. And
or
all
they
that.
Can
so
be taking a turn into the AFF there.
Yeah.
Or they could just be getting sucked into the AFF.
They could. Way. I mean, this is a cheap and easy, benign way to test it.
So the UBI is ready to go.
Why don't you do it on Monday? Don't do it over the weekend. We got a zillion tourists out there looking at all the fish and that kind of
stuff. I think you do it after the tourists are, you close the visitor facility. Plus, it would have less effect on adult passage if you're throwing fish.
That's why I say do it Monday night.
Well, they have the fish now. They're in the freezer, so I guess
they're not going anywhere.
So
they're not going to get any deader.
Anybody have a problem with this?
No.
I just had the request that we try to include lamprey with this test as well.
I have a concern about that, knowing what we know about lamprey passage and OPS is depending on where you put lamprey. We know that they're in the count windows. They're stuck to them in the serpentine section. I just be cautious of putting dead lamprey into the ladder.
We're finding dead lamprey in that ladder every other day.
We're finding them at the AFF,
right?
And they may be backing into the AFF, meeting their final demise in the AFF. So being cautious about putting lamprey.
Well, maybe do salmon first, and then let's see what we get from the salmon, and then do lamprey.
Right. It's up. It's
save your dead lamprey so you can do it. We can do this anytime.
Yeah.
The flow doesn't change. The number of fish do. So, that's. That's a good point. What I would do, though, is that, putting these fish back in, I'd make sure that we did it right below the count window, not above.
Okay.
No reason to do it above. I would go right below, so then fish will, our dead fish distribution would be normal. As we could make it.
So I thought about that, too, the dead lamprey preventing other lamprey from coming up, but it seems like we're kind of on the tail end of the lamprey run, so I'd be less concerned about it now than, 2 months
do
ago.
Do it later.
Yeah,
I
just
say,
let's do the salmon first.
Yeah.
See what result we get from the salmon.
Freeze dead ones.
Do the lamprey.
Yeah,
just freeze your dead, just freeze a chunk
and
of dead
ones.
Yeah,
I
dead
can tell you, basically, you have more tomorrow than they're dead. It's a
plenty
distribution.
So one more piece of information. I think there was a radiotown fish that we found against the trash rack in the AFF. It's possible that U of I might be able to supply us with some data on where that fish ended up throughout the ladder. And if it ended up at the top end as well and then floated back down there. So I know they released it below Bonneville and then it ended up on the AFF again post-sampling.
So it could have gone through the AFF system and died.
There's even contract issues getting information from that. I've heard, so I don't know if they provide that, but that'd be, if we could get that, that could add to our dead fish release.
All right.
I think John's point is a good one, though. I spoke to the fish counters about this process in case they happen to see dead fish getting released floating by so they wouldn't panic. And they don't see them. They've seen many jacks that are getting probably attacked by cormorants, which are actually in the ladder, right in the serpentine section, having a field day. But but they have not, seen adults.
That shot out.
Yeah, ideal. That's what it's going to take. So I don't know what that means exactly, but they're 13, 14, 15 year veterans. They know what they're doing, and they're not seeing it. So I don't know what that means.
Hey,
Byrne?
Yeah.
Hey, this is Ed Meyer. I wonder if that fish just didn't back down the ladder and got and maybe reascended the AFF again.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's quite possible.
Where are the pit tag detectors below the picket leads?
Just below.
Just below?
Yeah.
And there wasn't a Trevor, there wasn't a detection on that fish again below there, was there?
That was detected there at 7 in the morning, and then it was detected up top at 9.
In the serpentine section?
Yeah.
And then it wasn't detected back at that at the picket leads again?
No.
No.
Okay.
Right,
no,
was
when
it was
dead. Tagged and when it was discovered. That information could help too.
Oh, So well, I was tagging the AFF. And
there's also been the discussion, I've heard it several times, that the fish are coming in from the ladder dead. So regardless of this, what this pin tag fish did or didn't do, I think this was
there. Right.
Yeah, but if the counters aren't seeing fish floating past their window, I mean, I think they're probably backing through the window and maybe diving below it.
There's also the exit section there in the AFF. I was looking at that yesterday, and I noticed that there's no resting place. There's like four or five weirs that they have to go over, and they kind of cut the resting area out of it. So they pretty much got to shoot through the whole thing with no place to wait
and
kind of relax a little bit like we typically do, so I don't know if that's an additional stress there that could be added to it.
Well,
okay.
Lots of issues. We had one fish that died in front of our eyes, or was dying, and it had a nice, one maxillary was ripped up, and it had obviously a hooking injury. It was dealing only on one side, and really just didn't have enough oxygen.
Oxygen in the ladder.
When you got one set of gills.
There's lots of causes of mortality out there right now.
So what's this next? You're going to contact U of I and go ahead and move out on this, or?
Well, you know, we kind of need to contact them quickly, and like, I'm not going to be in the office this afternoon. So, Tammy,
yeah,
you know,
all right, I got it.
And just let them know.
All right, good. Let's move on. The RCC update.
All right, be quick. Lower Granite, yesterday's average flow 24 KCFS, forecasted 5 days out to be at 20, 10 days out at 19. McNary, yesterday's average 117, 5 days out, forecast of 90, and 10 days at 94. Bonneville, yesterday 131, 5 day forecast 97, and 10 day forecast 101.
Questions.
And looking at Bonneville for longer term in regards to the upcoming lamprey operation October November, the STP has flows right around the low 100s, so we still might be able to get by with just
sneak it.
Yep.
November.
And the STP is always right.
Yes,
right.
Never
changes.
Yeah.
Thank
especially
you.
Get the right STP.
That's true.
Any questions? Let's move on to lamprey updates. You guys have anything? Lamprey guys? Guys who play with the lamprey. No update?
Plume. Lamprey plume's down. I think most people already know that the water supply pump, the OPS, burned out. And so that has not been operated. They shut down the traction water as well.
What's the total collected this year?
Collected? I don't have an update since the last one I sent out.
28
was the last
one.
In the last
week.
Yeah.
Some basil and some
mozzarella. Yeah, no kidding. Any avian predation deterrent alternatives?
Well, that'll be discussed at the Tusker meeting.
Okay, which is right after this meeting.
Yeah.
Infrastructure, the DALS list is updated on the website. 3-8 is Bonneville updates. You got anything, Scott?
No.
The KELT monitoring plan that the FFU put together, have you guys reviewed that? Had a chance to look at it? It's pretty straightforward.
No, I
haven't.
Okay.
What's that?
Bring it back to October.
Yeah, we'll bring it back to October. I mean, it's not that pressing to get it approved yet, but then there's zebra muscle control. Bob, the zebra man.
Dr. Z. Yeah, so Steve Wells, I don't know if you guys remember him back in 2010. He was looking into testing
PSU
systems.
And our participants have left the conference.
Yeah, different paints and stuff. Yeah. Anyways, he was asking a lot of questions. I don't know if you guys up at Bonneville and John Day, but he was asking a lot of detailed questions about logistics and what would it take to paint all the grading. And I said, well, first of all, it would take FPOM approval. So, and he's aware of that because he went through that whole thing back in 2010 and we went through FPOM. So he's aware of that. And this is more just an FYI that You know, they're looking at that pretty close to Steve Wells from PSU. So they're looking at that pretty close, and I don't think he quite has a handle on
the volume,
what it takes to actually do it. But that's what he's trying to get a feel for. That's why he's asking all the questions. Okay, so he's asking, what would it take for us to to paint the gratings
with
some deterrent stuff that they have now? Because they've done all the testing, and I haven't seen the results of the testing that they did, or I'm not even exactly sure where they did it.
Could it be worth having him come and do the presentation to
Yeah,
him?
Let's have that.
And he's open to that, and so I threw that at him, saying, you know, I'm sure Devon would be interested in hearing what you have to say on what he's doing.
So he tested a couple of plates. I don't know if you guys remember out at the
he's
end.
Paint some plates, yeah.
So we never saw the results of that, so let's bring him in.
How did that zinc paint work?
It's working great.
Yeah, I bet.
Sealed.
It'll be covered now. Anyway, so I can let him know for next F bomb.
Yeah.
Preferably on.
Yeah, if he can do it. Brings us to coordination forms. 6.1 is the Washington Shore Lamprey Flume repairs.
Yeah, we got that all dialed in.
We do not have that dialed in yet.
What?
If anybody, you want to have a discussion about it, or?
There's still concerns on my part about running the corner collector when we're not going to run any units over there, possibly, or if we're only going to run them for a few hours. So the request is right now to run 24/7 from the 9th until the 9th.
The corner collector runs 24/7 as long as we're running the powerhouse without springs, yes. That's what we said.
Right, and so that's the part that I haven't got any consensus on in my agency, so I was committed to the Corps and Richie.
Did you have, what's the proposal from EPA?
Just to run it when units are running, we'd run the Corps collector.
I'll say no to that. If you want to negotiate hours or something like that, that's different, but you just say blanket in that way. I don't want to turn that thing on and off every day. If the plan is to run those units without screens every night, and you're talking about running the corner collector just during those hours and shutting it off every day, I don't think that's a good idea.
Well, that is what we're thinking.
That's what you're saying.
Since it is capable of doing that, then it is the mitigation for not having screened units.
Yeah, but you're drawing. The only downside is remind them that you're drawing fish into that area.
Yeah.
We don't know if we're going to have it on. Well, they may be on.
If you don't have, I'm saying if you don't run Powerhouse 2 for like 24 hours, then yeah, I could see like you don't need to run the corner collector. But if you run it for 10 hours, then you're going to have to leave it on. And we could talk about something like the time after the last few
exactly.
There you go.
Yeah, there's ways we could talk about this, but if you're just saying.
A blanket, no way.
You're going to run the corner collector when the units are running, and that's every day, you got to shut it off every day, and that's a non-starter for us. We want to talk about dead bands in there where you're running for only a few hours, and then we don't need to run the corner collector to talk about that.
Right, and that's great. That's what I'd like to talk about. Right now, the proposal is turn it on, leave it on, turn it off later. That's what I'm reacting to.
About that. I just don't. I mean, you got two extremes there. If you're going to be here at one or at the other, we just want to talk.
So can we find the one in the middle?
We have in the past. That's why I was surprised that we were stuck on the one extreme that we're at.
You do 24 hours, 48 hours?
Yeah, well, let's not get into that right now because I don't think about that. But I'm not hearing any kind of proposal.
Well, I'm only reacting to the one that's on the table. And that's why I'm saying that we're not supporting
Come back.
What's
your counter offer?
Yeah, it's going to be.
I want the Corinthian leather, by the way.
Well, it's like we had in the past is when we ran it, or we ran more than one unit, we would turn that on. And that's how we did it in the past. And so this is a large departure just to turn it on and leave it on.
What was the past?
In the past, we negotiated if more than one unit was running in the second powerhouse, then you would need to turn on the corner collector during the duration.
Well, that was with screens in, though.
Yeah.
No, it's without. That's when we had them out. When we had
it was later in the season.
Yeah, it was last winter.
But that was during the winter, wasn't it?
Is this for adults or is this for juveniles?
This is for both.
Both.
For both. The juvenile, to remind everyone, juvenile migration season goes to the end of the summer. So, adult fallback concerns go through December 15th. So, we're well within those time frames. So mitigation is necessary for both juveniles and adult fallback.
Right, but if the screens were in and you turned the unit on and off at night, there would be none of this.
If the screens were in and off, yeah, right.
Because you can turn it on and off screen, on and off.
The bypass system in place. In this case, you're not. So any fish that are in that form they pulled in, they're going through unscreened units at whatever survival rate that is.
Right, and so that's why we were turning on the corner collectors to mitigate for not having the screens available.
Right, and our concern is what I don't like doing is shutting that corner collector off every day and then having that go to zero flow to get whatever fish are in there out of there every day. And then whatever fish get in the form A, you're shutting that corner collector off. As soon as you shut the units off, there's fish you pulled in, where are they going? They're going to be milling around in that form A until they find a way out, which is the easiest thing to do. Unless you want to spill.
An hour, 2 hours.
If we go back and look at our notes from a year ago, we had all this work out.
Yeah, but that was also, I think,
different time of the year.
That was different time of year. That was also in the winter work period.
So what I'm hearing is the proposal that's on the table right now, the MOC, is not acceptable to EPA and others.
Who's the others?
You guys are fine with the proposal.
We're fine with it. As written, it's fine.
In Oregon?
I thought Sean did a great job.
And so we need to find something in the middle. What is that? So I can work with Scott on that and bring it to the group in the next week. If there's flexibility in this, say if no units are ran at a certain time, whatever that time period is, you just threw out, for example, 24 hours.
Yeah.
I mean, so we'll counter with something that might meet.
I said 40 at first.
I heard 12. So, that I think that's the way to get the next step is to come up the counter.
Well, we just need to do
some other operation.
Last time I checked, they want to start the operation fairly soon, so you're going to have to move smartly.
I always move smartly.
All right, what is the, right now the plan
24/7.
Is to run turbine units every night. Is that right?
Yeah, I think the latest iteration of it is 8 hours of generation.
They're available. Right.
Eight hours to go. 16-hour shifts in, right? Yeah. Within 16 hours, as soon as they're done, you bring the units up, and that can run for 8 hours.
If we need to, if flows are high enough.
Right now, they're not high enough.
Current STP is not there.
So it might all be a B1.
Well,
which is me, the ice
trip. Well, that's the only question. You still don't have that since our shoots way back at B1, which is problematic.
That's another problem all by itself. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't normally prioritize B1 that time of year, so that's outside of priority. Even with a shoots way, it's still a fallback issue. That was the whole idea of going to B2, stay at B2, way back when these leave screens brought in B1 for those units we thought we might need. We had a pull on those because we did the sluice way improvement, so we bought off on that. But without the sluice way, or even if the sluice way is in, it's still not the way we want to run that project. There's still an issue there.
We
I would rather run B2 with the corner collector.
We completely concur that we would rather run B2 all the time, every day.
Or maybe even for those hours, for those 8 hours, that might be a better way with the corner collector in operation to fall back.
So when Powerhouse 2 is available to generate, prioritize the
units.
Yeah. I mean,
that would be different than this coordinated zone. If we had a corner collector in place and operate, I don't fall back. Because the other side of that is you've got, there's no units, no screens on the other side either.
I'm not sure
how effective that system is in passing adults. Another corner collector is pretty effective.
I'm confused. Could you clarify your position on Powerhouse priority? I thought what I heard was operate Powerhouse 2 available unit as a priority.
With
corner collector running. Impossible.
At night.
That would change.
I think that's better
than running Powerhouse 1 without a sluice way.
Right.
We'll have a sluice way.
So we're changing, am I understanding?
Really? We're just talking about it.
We're just talking about it.
Some of the options. Trying to find that win-win situation or whatever, that situation where we can operate B2 and where the corner collector comes on and off, if it comes on and off.
I mean, what we want to minimize is urban passage of adults, for sure, and minimize adult refusal passage to the extent that we can, but adults ought to be the main concern here.
How many units are available? Power Smart, are we going to have the full?
Nine.
You're going to have, so 9 units, Power House 1, what does that flow?
90.
90.
You got 10 incremental. You got 10.
You're right there.
Yeah.
No, we're right there. And so you may need to shave it some hours. You have pools, you can hold on to it and change your duration. But the thing is, it won't be on all the time. You won't need second power house every night for 8 hours.
Unless that's the way it must be prioritized.
Yeah.
You could do that, correct. And then it's just a question if you want to turn units on and off, the impacts of doing that. You're just going to shut.
And if we do prioritize power house 2 at night, then that would change probably the thought of leaving screens in a couple units to kind of shave off the turnaround time, beginning and ending. So if we do prioritize Powerhouse to either take all the units or all the screens out, there's other considerations.
Right. We were considering leaving some screens in, so we didn't have to, one, remove them all, and then two, we could start the potential corner collector later and then resume operations with screen units sooner by having them in. Yeah.
And the bypass, right?
Yeah. So that was the trade-off. That's why the floating back and forth every night would really engage that issue. It is simple, and it is only $1 million on top. For $1 million repair, to add $1 million in mitigation on top.
Not the problem.
I know it's not.
Right.
That's at the best case for your power generation. I hate it when you guys throw around these jackass numbers about generation because it's foregone.
Will it affect the billion?
Don't go there, Scott. That's
just, we're going to go there. It is $1 million. It could be
$1 million. It could also be 5,000. It all depends on your power market potential.
I know that.
I played these games too many years, Scott. I don't want to hear the worst case scenario. It's like my car could also be worth $10,000 if I find a jackass who wants to buy for that much.
Low is 100 in the river, and the power's capacity is 180. You can generate with it. There is a market, and it's very expensive right now.
Yes, but is it going to be that in November? I don't know.
Scott, does it affect our ability to meet?
No, it doesn't. It's 28 megawatts, but it is not
worthless.
And so that's where I reacted to Tom's.
The rates for the ratepayers in the Northwest.
It's $1 million.
At best case, the best case for you, it's the most you could lose would be $1 million.
Not worried about it.
I know it's not a concern.
I could be worried about
it's
it.
Not that it's not a concern, but I always get tired when I hear the worst case scenario always.
I always throw in that as.
Okay, the lowest is 700,000.
Okay, and your mortality rate could be 50%. So what's the ESA? What is it per fish?
What's the burden of proof is really.
Isn't it 50,000 per fish you kill ESA? So I think we could get there pretty quick.
So we need to know if we have prioritized which powerhouse first and then determine which.
Right. We're going to have to have some discussions offline.
Obviously.
And come back.
Well, the bottom line is what's your anticipated take with your action? That burden of proof is on the action agencies.
For repairing lamprey.
What's that?
For a lamprey flume repair.
Yeah, that's not an ESA issue. So what I'm trying to get at is what is the impact of your operations? You know, Ben's going to be on the hot seat because I don't know what the survival rate is. Every time you shut down that sluiceway, that corner collector, what happens? You know, how many fish get stranded? What happens to those fish? I hope it cools down, but this is going to be a hurry. We need to know what that effect is. Give us some numbers. You're throwing out dollar signs.
We do know that one is zero. That's why we went to that. You can't open and close it. That's why we went forward with the 1.6 million open and closure device.
What's that?
The corner collector hoist.
I know. I
Historically,
that,
we have not found fish trapped in the corner collector, but there is always the option, potentially depending upon how much that costs, of leaving the flushing flume or the flushing valve open.
Okay, so that's what you guys need to bring to us. I'm not going to sit here and say one's better than the other. And you tell me what you anticipate the mortality rates to be with these different operations. But I'm telling you, is you need to consider Bell Fallback, you need to consider Juniper Passage. So, because it is within the season of both of those, it would normally be operating these projects to minimize the loss of those fish. Got a biological opinion that anticipates a particular amount of loss. This is above and beyond that, and you're doing this for a lamprey benefit, which is considered a biological opinion. So if you get too far down the road of that, and we'll say that this needs to be a consultation, that'll throw it out how many years to get that taken care of. But just consider that you're not well covered at this point in any lamprey caused mortalities. I'll say that.
All right. Well,
so give us something to look at.
We'll do that. Proposal. We'll do that as soon as we can.
This isn't doing it.
Kind of thought we were done with this one.
Yeah,
I'll come. Nope. We ripped that scab right off.
Anything else? All right, let's move on to Bonneville Spillway Tail Race Survey. I don't know anything about the tail race survey. The tail race survey? When is this?
So the tail race survey. So there is a coordination form in your packet. Because apparently you all read that. Basically, this is...
On page. I'm joking.
Right after the one we just discussed. Yeah. This is the annual survey that we do. They want to do it the 30th of September. They want to close one bay at a time while they get in there for one day. Historically, this has been a good time to do it, both for them and...
And they're planning to do it before the lamprey work starts, so that should be
exactly.
Fine.
There was one issue. The project would prefer to take both bays out for the both end bays out for the entire time because of clearance, ease of administering the clearance. However, they recognize that that may not be possible.
If the fish numbers go really low, yes. If they stay high,
so we'll just go with no. Okay. Approved with one bay open at a time.
That is worth, just for, not only for this, but for future, the guides now for that kind of stuff. It's already been cumbersome, you know, with especially dive ops or boat-related operations with the clearance. Every person now that's protected by the clearance has to be physically locked onto the box. So, for example, in this case, you change that clearance by manipulating one bay and the other. That boat leaves a tail race, goes meet somebody somewhere else. Everyone takes their locks off. They manipulate the clearance. So you're talking hours in difference just to do that one little change. So, even if it's no, in this case, I just want folks to know that it can be a pretty big impact. It's no longer can someone from the top side sign for the boat crew. It's every single person on that boat has to come out. Yep. It's a pleasure to work with.
Safety first.
Yep.
Shall we move on? The line outage at the Dalles.
John Day,
sorry, my eyesight's that bad. There we go.
John Day maintenance asked me to coordinate this line one outage. This is not biannual. This is just 1 week, 4 days actual work necessary for the bus switching gear maintenance. And I thought, since biannual is traditionally done in October as a compromise, we can do it a little bit later in November when the weather is still conducive to the work conditions and safety. So the work is being proposed for November 4th through 7th. So we won't have the unit priority, which at that time of year is the line 1, actually 1 through 4, and should be minimal impact on the juvenile migrating because there won't be flashing of the on the SMF, but it's only operating for the full throat pit tank detection. And then adult impact also shouldn't be too severe. And I also attached to the coordination document the study, your university provided a study from 2006, which when we had the line one outage in the spring, there was no impact on the delta passage. Also, this kind of additional support.
Not noted within the ability of the study to determine.
But again, this is just, that was just icing on the cake, so to speak. But at this time of year, there shouldn't be that many fish. And we'll have normal operations of the fishway with three turbines. My judgment is that should be accepted. Thank you.
Now, was there an update on the replacement of lines?
I think that's still too early. Okay. It's still pending.
That's for next summer, though, isn't it?
I can talk to you about it a little bit more. But it was a good meeting we had with BPA on the next year's, maybe a couple of years, BPA line replacement.
Right, they're planning on replacing the lines, the powerhouse lines from the substations to the powerhouse across the tail race. So there's going to be issues associated with that, and so we'll bring them to you, but I want to give you a heads up that next summer.
After the 31st, or...?
Not after the 31st of August?
Yeah, I assume you
No, it's a June, July, August kind of an outage.
Actually, most likely it may be September, October, November. It may be changing. It's still unknown at this time.
We've been working with them. I'm one iteration behind. So,
this could have line one implications in September?
They're replacing all four lines.
Okay, well, let's make sure that the schedule is such that we don't have face an issue with...
Yeah.
Line one outage of a peak of
Fall Schmidt
run, which we still have a good Jack run this year. So,
looking
at Fall Schmidt up at Jack's, it's pretty tough. But we had a hell of a Jack run last year and what we got this year.
No, I told them actually that line one cannot be taken out of service earlier than October.
So we'll continue to update you, and hopefully we can be working around all of our fish windows. It was at one time a really critical outage, maybe three lines at a time. So,
Okay, let's go to 6-4, which is the John Day South Adult Fishway extended outage for joint and water stop repair.
Yeah, this is for Natalie Richards, and what's happening here this winter, there is going to be a contract taking place at John Day Powerhouse to repair all the failed water stops in different parts of the extension joint all across the powerhouse. It's a larger type of contract, which is only part of it is affecting John Day South Fishway, AWS conduit and outages, basically taking advantage of our annual dewatering work anyway, which for this year was scheduled to be quite extensive on the South Fishery because we are emphasizing South after 2 years of North extended outage there. So anyway, the problem is severe because everybody knows that John Day then leaks like a sieve, so it needs to be all those leaks are detrimental to the dam operations because the water is pouring on electrical panels and so forth.
So how many millions is that?
It needs to be fixed.
Anyway, what Natalie wants to do, well, the repair contract is still under design at this point. So, effectively speaking, the work cannot be awarded until like sometimes in January. And she's afraid that there may not be enough time. Technically speaking, it should be, all work should be done within 1 month, which should be the end of January for the end of February. But just for the ultimate security, she would like to have 2 weeks margin of error into the first 2 weeks of March. That would be extended outage, which would result that John Day South Fishway would be out of service from early January to potentially through mid-March. And it would return to service not later but the 15th of March. It may not need to happen, but she would like to have that placeholder in terms of extended outage.
You said you can't start early?
What?
You can't start 2 weeks early?
No, because like I said, the procedure of awarding the contract is pretty complicated. It depends on funding, now the sequesters and so forth. The whole thing is very difficult. That's why she's concerned, because the technical people telling her that there should be enough time. If we start working at the end of January, 1 month should be enough. But for accounting for unexpected, she would like to get additional 2 weeks.
So is there any chance, I mean, is this, so what they're doing is filling cracks with right. some compound of some sort. Is there any chance that leaches into the fish waves?
Right. So in this particular case specifically, they will be working from, as I understand, AWS conduit, which needs to be dry and dewatered, and they're going to be drilling to be able to remove the old, wore out gaskets, whatever, right. the silica material. They will have to drill. They will be working from the AWS conduit, so it has to be dewatered, and then they will be installing the new material. And therefore, the AWS has to be the water.
I understand that. I'm just asking if there's a chance that this new material they put in is going to be a little bit of an aging period.
Has anybody else used it?
Yeah, I just
in,
yeah,
in the river.
If you're putting something in there that will be in contact with the water, is there a chance that
it'll have a bad fish reaction?
It would be good to have a week or two of flushing flow before we get into the season. We're
going to
winter, there'll be summer
steel
over winter or something
too. I guess this is kind of environmental impact and fish impact, I think is still being included in the planning of that work, in the design of that work, which is still pending. The PDT is still working.
So they're looking at that issue of the chemicals?
I can bring it up, or I guess Tammy can bring it up to Natalie, the impact possibly. I don't know what the materials are being used on fish passage.
I just, for you to push this to the very edge, is there a soak time that you hear for whatever materials you're using? If not, if this doesn't come into contact with flow or anything, then fine.
Yeah,
it
will.
I think it's like a grout, you know.
It's just a grout. It'd be fully, fully cured. It's just, that's the question.
Okay.
Residue issues that you need to flush out.
Yeah. And can they do areas that are more likely to be in contact with water first
to get them done before?
Yeah. And they will be working at one joint at the time, so they're going to be moving. They have like 16 joints.
That's crazy.
When you water it up, whatever's left in there is going to flush out. It's just going to have that earlier in the layer. That's all I'm saying is that I've seen too many times where we've had contaminants in fish waves.
So
they originally wanted till the end of March for the extension, so we've really tightened them up. I don't know that we'll get any flushing time.
I think the state of Oregon would have something to say about that. They have in the past. These are John A. Steelhead. They've got a big number of fish that are moving up in March to spawn, and they're moving from the Columbia to the river. And so we want to make sure these fish are on that. Schedule, they need to get there. Well, we don't want to have a delay caused by either the ladder being out of service, which is the main ladder, or some sort of chemical issue going on there, which we've had flushed out. So I want to give it time to flush out a little bit.
Is there a reason we can't start earlier? Is it just money, mostly? Contract and money?
Contract.
Contract. Can't get in any sooner. Trust me, I was pushing that one really hard.
They can't get in any sooner than January 1. Can't get in there in December.
Even, really?
That is what I have been told.
Because it'll be down.
So if we can determine that the grout is something that's not...
That's a water quality issue.
I'm sure you're not going to go in there with some crazy new grout.
I want to make sure that as soon as it's built, it's ready to go.
Do you want to
change the grout out, whatever.
I would imagine there's an MSDS on it that might tell you something.
I mean, we're talking... Those are the monolith grout. This is different from minor leaks. We're talking some industrial
long-term type of thing, which is supposed to last for 50 years, so we're not talking some what we normally deal with. I'm not sure what it is and what the methods of taking care of.
What's the curing agent within that, all that kind of stuff? You know, we didn't know that.
Okay.
Yeah, if it's been used in any other fishways.
Yeah.
All right, we'll get that information. Let's move to, somebody on the phone?
Yeah, just one quick little minor comment. I was planning on videotaping or video recording John Day South this winter and also this spring coming up. That's the only other thing involved. But if it only lasts for the 30 or the 28 days of February, hey, there's no problem at all.
Yeah, it'll likely go into March, so we got to get that figured out.
Yeah, okay.
Let's go to Lomo 6.5.
Okay.
South Shore entrance rehab pre-work inspection. Is that correct?
We completed that yesterday.
Okay. So
how'd it go? I didn't have time to go over there, so I couldn't tell you. Just the mechanical crew went on.
A participant has left the conference.
Make sure that the equipment actually there was the same as was on the prints, so they can order the materials for the rehab.
Okay. What about Lower Granite spill pattern?
So that was implemented starting Monday, and that will be something that we didn't discuss earlier, but if we push off the work by working shorter days next week, we'll probably make a similar request unless they're able to find something better. So depending on the extension right now, if we just change the 2 hours of the day, we're going to probably make the assumption that we will continue with that so that we can complete the work as we planned and coordinated last week. So that's ongoing. And we had, I believe we had some phone discussion with Bill. I think Greg called around, didn't catch a lot of people in, and we on Monday had no other adverse comments from anyone, so we moved ahead. So that's where that's at.
And I'm sorry, just to clarify, that current spill pattern is set to expire on Friday, I believe. So I'm sorry, did you speak to what we're expected to do on Saturday?
What I'm suggesting is that if we're going to put off part of the work, so if we're going to try to start as soon as tomorrow or as soon as we can with working shorter days to allow us to run two units longer in the day for adult passage, then we're going to still have that same need to complete that same element of roof work.
Okay.
So as we make any changes in a teletype, just for people's awareness.
So maintain that north bolt spill pattern.
Right. I think they're looking at that closely just to see if there's anything else they could do to minimize that. But, yes, that would be the assumption at this point in time.
Okay. I don't have a problem with continuing the north spill pattern. But something for people to think about is whether or not we could – I know this goes along with what you were thinking, that pooling had something to do with the delay. But I'm kind of wondering whether this is just going. People are thinking about it. Is if we could close off all spill during that time, pool the water, and then have more powerhouse water during the daytime adult passage hours. Do we need that? Continue that 6 to 7 kcfs on the
11.5. Isn't there the I don't know if we can do that. My understanding is there's an 11.5.
There's 11.5 minimum flows required this time of year in the state, but we can grant ourselves a change to it. I mean, it is not usual to do that, but if there's a benefit, you can do that.
So just doing station service, 5 kcfs for the hours of the roof work, and then using the storage to operate 2 to 3 units during the morning hours.
Again, that would be then inconsistent as well with the Nez Perce agreement, which Nez Perce agreement would like to have the 1 foot operating range as a soft constraint currently at 735 to 736 in an effort to minimize ponding of water for the benefit of letting that water be released. So again, if
to give them a call. I'm sure if you're saying this is going to help adults, they will probably go with
it. I just wanted to be clear that since these are all things that are coordinated with the region, if we're going to do something that's inconsistent with that.
And we did bring it up in the last TMT that we could go outside of that for this reason. And so this is, we've been doing it a little more, but we would need to figure out how to, if the day average 11.5 or instantaneous 11.5.
So the two people that were on earlier that got off, we need to...
Russ and Dave
Statler and Becky Johnson both probably need to be emailed on this.
I was just phone calls.
Yeah.
It's just something to think about, because right now that way over on the north side spill is probably of very little value, and it probably even makes tail race conditions worse, right? You know?
But for adult passage.
I don't know what we're just doing it, I guess, just because of this
minimum. We got past the water.
Yeah.
Minimum.
What we have been trying to do is store it.
But if we don't want a pond, I understand. That if that's something that we want to avoid, then
okay. No, but we already got the okay to do that. In a normal year, this wouldn't be having this conversation, but we have an extreme condition. We're trying to use every tool we have possible.
Right.
And so going to no spill, running distance, speed, no load is one we haven't investigated yet, but it is possible. Mm-hmm.
Could you pond and goose to maintain that? Yeah. Where's that minimum flow checked at?
Well, that's we have to look into the detail. Okay. We've never looked at it because we have been ponding it and bringing it out at different hours. Because you're peaking at times when you don't really need it. It's not as valuable as it is later. And so we've been using the other pools to balance out what you've been doing at Lower Granite.
Right.
But yeah, we'll look into that.
Okay.
Anything else on that?
So where did the conversation end? You just made the recommendation to think about it.
Think about it, yes.
You check with Carl or whoever is the keeper of the book and know what the finite rules are.
Last time I heard that was EPA that was aware of that book. I'm not understanding the core is even aware of that.
It's the 1989.
I'm looking at it. I'm looking it up right now. But I'm wondering if it's a minimum based on minimum generation. Because it's 11.5 for one unit.
It happens to correspond with what the minimum of a unit is, yes. Okay. But it's not. That's not what the genesis of it was. Because we go to zero flow later on.
Right, so the idea if there was a possibly there could be a downstream navigation concern or some other ancillary.
Right, and got it. Likely that isn't either because you can hold the pools high enough to mitigate for each other.
Okay.
So we need to look into it because we haven't done it this time of year. But
okay.
That's a good Carl question.
Okay.
Got it. Check.
Yeah, got it, good.
Okay, move to the next one.
Juvenile fish collection channel upgrade.
I think we have Scott Fielding still on the phone.
Yeah.
Okay, Scott, you brought this to us just in the last couple of days. You probably don't need a whole lot of my preamble. I'm going to go ahead and let you just start. This is largely related to Lower Granite JFF and want to put on the table some changes that you'd like people to consider.
It's also page 18.
Currently, the unwatered work window is December 15th to March 24th. And to be able to mine out this collection channel, it's going to take approximately 6 to 10 months to do that. And if we do it under the current unwatered work windows, we're talking about three different ones to be able to complete this. So what I'm proposing is that we take and extend an unwatered work window for the collection channel from 1 of August to 24 of March in 2015-2016 and be able to mine out that collection channel all in one time. If we don't do that, then we have the potential of, you know, only mining out one or two units and then having to put in false floors and walls to maintain flow in there. So what I'm proposing is that we do that in an unwatered work window, use the RSW to help with passage and or fallbacks of adults and juveniles during that unwatered work window.
I was unable to attend the dual meeting, so I haven't seen the proposal written down. So okay. If I can get a hold of that, that would be
so good. I think it's with the agenda. It came out with the agenda, so maybe take a look and give us some feedback. Okay, so BPA will get back to us with some feedback. It looks like Bill Hevlin is giving it a thumbs up at this point in time.
Yeah, the thing with all of our problems with adult passage here in September at Lower Granite, we got to be careful of this. Although the RSW would really help adult fallback and juvenile passage when you don't have the bypass operating in September, October, it could also just get us in the same kind of a fix of having poor tail race conditions for adult passage. So I think on one hand, yeah, we got to have the RSW maybe available for passage, but on the other, for passage, downstream passage. On the other hand, we don't want it to another contribute to this kind of thing that we're having this year.
Right. So, okay.
I don't know how we'd say it. We've got to put it in a coordination somehow where these things are flexible.
So.
Right, and I also thought looking at, you know, maybe 1 of October as an extended on-water work window because of what's happening this year.
Okay, so maybe just a little bit more dialogue for the coordination forum that considers what's happening this year and potential impacts or mitigation.
A participant has joined the conference.
Yeah.
Does that sound like so?
Who just joined? Anybody just joined the call?
Hang up on all of them.
I think it was someone leaving Burn.
Okay. Okay, Russ, did you have any comments on this?
Oh, man, not at this time.
Okay, so BPA is going to come back to us with comments. Why don't you take a look and see if you have any comments as well? Right now, I think our suggestion to Scott is that it would be good to consider what Bill has just stated and see if there isn't maybe a modification to this existing coordination forum that would discuss how there might be some other mitigation that should be considered.
Well, we could write it so that if people feel like it is interfering with our adult passage, we could close it or operate at different hours.
I mean, you may want to just do it at night, do your 12 hours at night.
Maybe so.
And then maybe go outside so. The adult window.
Yeah, I'll see how it goes, but one is that I'm not too worried that we have to put it in there that we would shut her down if it was delaying adults, because if it was delaying adults, we would shut it down, even if it was not in the plan.
Right, so. Exactly. We would.
Okay.
But I want to make it easier.
Well, this is 2015, so we've got a lot of time to think, but they're going to have to put a contract out, and I think I appreciate, Scott, you bringing this forward at this time early so that people can have it on their radar and give you any feedback. So it sounds like we may get a little feedback in the next couple weeks, and if so, we'll forward that to you and we'll revise the form.
If you had it operating, Russ, would you operate 12 hours daytime or 12 hours nighttime?
Well, I mean, one is I'm not really certain yet, so I don't want to just make a recommendation just out of air. Okay. I'd have to talk to folks.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, we can probably move. Thank you.
Great. Well, let's move to 7 Fish Passage Plan. You guys want to join us again?
No.
All right. Then we
need to
go.
Then all the Fish Passage Plan is approved, and we'll just keep going.
You guys ready to go over all these Fish Passage?
No.
You haven't?
A participant has left the conference.
Some other thing.
So then we'll have to carry those over. For
is there any that you need to get taken care of right now, or is there all
just passing plans? No. But if it is the time where the request is out, if anybody has anything to remember, it's time to be writing it up now and getting it in. So
there's 14 bond 001. I'm just going to resubmit that since we seem to can't get an answer from you guys on that one.
When you do that,
I'll change the dates though.
Okay, it may be good to separate out your the table. I was reluctant to do that this year because I was hoping we would get everything together, but separate out the table as one change form. So at least we have that when we have an SOP.
I guess we can do that. And then one question we did have, because I've been getting some questions about Sockeye Passage. Do we keep the Bonneville downstream NABLOG closed until we actually need to open it to try to dissuade Sockeye from passing McNary?
David Trachtenberg
has left the conference.
McNary?
Bonneville
we do. Do we do that in McNary, though? Because McNary is another bad culprit where Sockeye seems to sneak through the dam and we miss them.
Carl's here, but I guess while he's thinking about it, from what I've seen is that no, we do not leave the downstream gate open.
I don't think we do it then.
We'll check. I was going to put a change form in, but if you guys are right, doing
how much leakage is on that upstream gate?
Not much.
Almost
nothing.
Yeah, you know, we made some improvements 2 years ago in the winter work window, so I think the major issue we still have on the nav lock is the cranes that we're looking for money for. We can double check just nav lock condition and maybe give you an update at the next meeting of all the problems that we do have existing that would be related to leakage.
I'm by there a lot. The downstream gate is almost always closed. By the time they open it, it's the boat coming through. As for the leakage on the upper part, it's a difficult, it's very, very slight.
Is the gate closed and it's full of water, or is it just the gate closed?
Oh, if it's full of water, obviously the gate is closed.
Right, right.
But when it's in the down position, it's usually closed. They almost always leave it closed. The only time I've seen it open is when the boat's going in or out.
Because McNary is kind of unusual as to where the exit water goes compared to the Snake River.
So it's a concern that if the downward gate were open and the lock is down, that some of the fish could come up through there.
Yeah, especially if there's leakage and go get it attracted.
Well, there's almost no leakage, and like I said, the gate's almost always shut.
Yeah, no, it's because we've always seen, for some reason, sockeye seem to sneak through McNary without getting detected. We won't detect them at McNary, but then also they'll show up at Fish Rapids. Mm-hmm. So one of the theories was, well, they're probably not getting nav through, so I said I would check to see if the nav lock. It's only open when boats are passing.
But I can look at the records and see. I'm just going from what I see, and I'm there several times a week. Okay. I'll check the records.
Okay, we'll check. Yeah. Let me know. Okay.
Anything else on these?
And then look at all these.
They look like they can just.
For the most part, they're pretty. Well, they're almost all the exact same. Mm-hmm. It's just the same one, but breached down. Yeah.
So right. They just requested information.
Yeah.
So I do have a question on the nav locks. Do we keep temperatures of the water in the nav locks? Is it recorded anywhere?
I don't think so.
It's
in the nav lock. It's all along the spillway and the forebay.
Right. But
so the temperature monitoring is all for TDG?
Yeah. Sure. But
I don't think we have a probe in the nav lock.
Is it worth putting them in there? Because one thing we're thinking of is if the cooler water comes through the nav lock, that's why the fish are going there. Attractive. So if we had a temperature to show it's either the same or it was colder, then we could maybe the wind would further.
Yeah, if you look at the temperature model for that area from current and past work, it's all over the place. But generally the cooler water is over on the Washington side. It's the shelf on the Oregon side that seems to be most of the warmer water.
But that's a theory that people are using. It's a temperature issue. That's what they want.
But is there any reason to suspect that?
Well, we just had these numbers that we can't explain how the
missing
how
fish
get over a dam without being counted.
Oh, yeah, you go under the sill, pass at night.
Sure.
There's a lot of room to investigate there as well.
Yep. Nav lock seems to be the favorite investment.
All right, so 8 is potential, 9 are task group updates, so 9-1 is the...
What I was going to suggest on those SOP change forms, I could probably go through and give you an email okey-dokey on most of them in the next, until next week, and I can probably do that. And if you want to head out that way, so that I can carry on next week.
That's fine. CC, Lisa.
So I think most of us can probably go through. I mean, there's a couple, like, if you want that one, like...
You know, it's getting
changed. Well, we have the meeting next week, so I'm assuming that there'll be something special there about that, right?
Yeah. Or
So that one probably isn't really right, I would think, for the decision at this point. Probably haven't had the discussion. And then there are several. We would be expecting one from the Corps on dredging and the way that we take care of the fish in our house, too.
The trash rocks, since O&M is going to be fully, has got that totally taken care
of. Right, this isn't a complete list of change funds. These are just the ones we have done now. And if we can just get through them.
I'm saying I can probably give you an okie dokie on most of them mid next week. I will read them and get them to you. I've got too many other turds reports.
Let's see, is it in your list here?
I'm adding it.
We're going to add that one.
Do.
We'll add that to your number 8.
Trust me, you're going to want you guys writing it, not me writing it, because I'll be a little more persnickety.
Trash raking.
Trash raking.
Okay.
B1, B2 fish units.
Did you want the lawyers, did you want the same? So did you look at what we provided for facts and figures for Portland District?
No, I got way late by my policy and this fall schnick issue.
But you want the same type of thing for Walla Walla districts as well?
Well, that would be nice. Okay. I took a quick look. It looked like the general stuff was there. I'll take a look again after the meeting.
So, Gary, we'll add the trash rake fish units into 8. Anything else? Anybody want to add? All right.
That's what you think of now.
Yeah, there's probably going to be some, well, I guess maybe it's not time for it, but AFF changes as well in there, maybe in terms of the discussion, you know, that would be under appendix.
G.
G?
G?
It's a G now?
Yeah.
It's always been G. Appendix G.
Yeah.
Yeah, I that got that noted.
So cool. There are probably some changes into that, and also, I think we just, at least as a group, we need to wrestle a little bit with the density issues in those ladders.
Oh, and split flow?
And splitting flows, maybe Bonneville split flow. We might want to move more flow to Powerhouse 1. Try to split that out a little bit more. I mean, you guys are going to get plenty of fish as it is.
Oh, it's on it. It's the fishing issue.
And then there's the dowels. I'd like to revisit the spill that we tried in the past for improving adult passage. We should revisit that. The FFU did do a study in the 90s on that, and I think we only used in that test about 1.5 KCFS traction flow. It did not work, did not shift the percentage of the fish. But that was a very small amount of spill. I was thinking of something along 40 K or something like that.
How many millions would that be?
Thomas calculated it's 0.
No, I never said 0.
Yeah, that's what I thought I'd get. So PPA says no. But I think as a group, it wouldn't be a bad idea to resist that because of ladder density.
It's got to be huge.
So, Gary, are you thinking of doing something right now or are you in the future?
No.
Or what is it?
Well, what's the point is that the ladder densities, the last 2 days of the dowels exceeded the 25,000 fish that we use as a splitting criteria in Bonneville. So those ladders aren't any bigger. The issue is the same. So I think, you know, going back and maybe revisiting that, and I don't know how much spill. I mean, I know it's an issue, but it's still an issue to have the densities. We were out there yesterday, Trevor and I, looking at it, and there were a lot of fish everywhere in that ladder. It wasn't just at the exit. But at the exit, we were watching several fish at a time going over. Bob saw this too. And we actually saw one fish, one large chinook, grab a small chinook and tear it up a little bit. We didn't see it tear it up, tore it up, but we did see it get carried around. So I think there was a little bit of a, canine.
Now you know
how we feel. It was mothering behavior.
So, yeah, it's a little bit of behavior going on there, but it's either density or it's just spawning behavior. But it was, it's not something you really want to see in the ladder. So,
right,
but the densities are high and the temperatures are high, and it would be good to get, we got about less than 10% of the runs using the North Ladder at this time. So, if we could shift some of that burden over to the North Ladder, I think that'd be fine.
Are those, what were those ladders designed for? Because there was a fish capacity that those just ladders
were designed. Ed, are you still on?
Ed?
We were thinking, FFU kind of went through that We were, you know, that's where we came up with 25,000 to 30,000 criteria per ladder. And Ed and I were talking about that today, and I think that's kind of what they were designed for, is that 30,000 range.
We passed 90,000 the other day, total salmon.
What's that?
We passed almost 90,000 total salmon the other day. At Bonneville.
Yeah. 90,000?
When you added up all species of fish going through.
I got up to 70. I don't know.
At 87,000. You had 87,000 when you added the steelhead.
I added all the species. What day was that?
We have the 68.
68?
The
68. That was Monday.
Yeah.
Is that when we had like 11 dead fish?
Well, you might have, but I mean, you passed almost the entire run in a day. And so my point is, we've never seen these.
We even got more.
We need to look at it closely.
Right.
The ladders may be capable of more than we thought they were.
Well, you know, the density, look, how do you judge that? I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say that that density, what I'm seeing, is okay. It doesn't look okay to me.
The thing you might want to look at.
There was a point where we were pushing, fish were pushing fish up out of the water.
The reason I would, at the Dallas, it looks like 25, 25, 25 has been your numbers. That's flattened out there. So it may be showing that because of passages staying at 25 all the way, that there is an issue.
You think that's a limiting factor?
I don't know. But it's unique that it would be 25, 25 and downstream at 60, 52, 48. I mean, harvest is high, but not that high.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, growing and limited at 25, 25, 25.
Yeah, it might be just
a chance or
not. Yeah, okay, good point.
So yeah, look at something like
that. Hey, yes.
It still argues that you might want to improve.
But I mean, it might be telling us right now that 25 is the limit.
Yeah. Well, it's something that, I mean, it's something that we should at least entertain the thought of and look at.
Yeah.
It might not take that much more spill flow, and it could be a very short duration. I'm not talking about the whole fall season by any stretch, but for these high points where we get a lot of fish, looking towards the future, water temperatures probably are going to go down. Hopefully, fish runs stay up, may even go higher. So.
It's a great problem to have.
This is a wake-up problem for something, a great problem to have, but it's a wake-up problem. It's a wake-up message.
So,
it's
not totally
related. You need to put two ladders in it.
But I have one question. You know, with all these fish, how does this help with our progress towards delisting fall chinook? And where does this put us in that whole long-term?
Yeah, they're all hatchery fish. Yeah. No,
that's
people are looking at it. Congress was asking about it a couple days ago. So.
Yeah. We've got inquiries. So it's a good thing.
So you delist and then what? You stop doing all fish protection measures?
where we're down to like 600 fish.
Well, we stop summer spill and we start transporting all of them.
Again.
Puts the death.
That should get us back to where we're
going. It's been so much fun the last 30 years.
Yeah. These fish that are coming through the other day are hatchery fish. I'm wondering, are we beginning to overwhelm the systems with hatchery fish at this point?
I think Becky this morning gave us a rough idea.
60% snake, she said.
Yes.
For the snake or fish.
I think she was thinking that not quite half are natural fish versus. So she sent me an email last night that said, 75,000 hatchery, 30,000 natural, 70,000 to lower granite.
How do you tell the natural? Because the tourists putting in a lot of fish that aren't put.
So,
the hatchery wild ratio until they're under reconstruction.
Yeah.
They're just guessing. The numbers are not things we've seen before, so there's no way to know that until after the reconstruction.
What's it been the
last
couple of
years? Next winter.
What's it been averaging the last couple of years?
Less than 20%.
Why?
Yeah, but see, with these kind of numbers,
right,
it's not possible to speculate until the other constraints. They will take things like the unmarked hatchery fish into account when they do that with the construction.
Yeah. See what happens.
All right, so can we wrap it up here with our task group updates? So Fish Counting Task Group, was talking with Ann about this, and I think the best approach for us is to, as the core, work on our own and present any kind of changes that we see might benefit the program for cost savings and also meat management goals and bring it to FPOM down the road. Right now, you know, we're not changing anything. We've got a 3-year contract in place. I think that's the best way to approach this, right? Anybody?
And it has nothing to do with the fact that nobody wants to come to our meetings.
Because we're being boycotted. So Avian Task Group's going to meet after this meeting. And
it's going to be awesome.
The people on that are...
way better than this meeting.
Fredericks is on there.
I need a good laugh. Thanks.
Sea Lion are meeting next week, the 18th, here in this room, I believe. Or no, down the fifth floor.
I don't know, because...
Yeah.
That's not the room.
It's supposed to be here somewhere.
Yeah, okay. Settings, Critfic.
If you want, I'll get you a room, but no one has requested that.
Bjorn might have already done that.
It's already in that.
Yeah, it's on the agenda. Anyway, it's, I think
yeah,
it's
but is it on our agenda?
10 to
on the
4.
Balloon's agenda? You might want to ask that question.
Tom, will you please
Tom,
get us a room?
There you go.
Tom, get us the room.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, I'll put you in the fifth floor, by the way.
It's all right. I won't be there.
So next Wednesday?
If it's on the fifth
yes.
floor. AFF mods, John?
We're planning to reconnect the bypass pipes and examine how we can steepen the angle. And we are looking at modifying the baffle, being able to raise it out of the water, hopefully allow Shad and Chris out of the lab when it's a bypass. And modify the baffle, looking into cutting a slot far back across from the rail pool. Chad might be able to get out of the lab better. I don't know if you guys recall that we had put 1,500 to 2,000 bent Chad when we dewatered to remove the bypass pipes in that little area right outside the rail pool. It's significant.
Scott Fielding.
Has left the conference.
Just listening to that, but we noticed yesterday that, do you guys, Ben, do you guys change the head on those weirs on that exit ladder for the Shad season?
No. Well, I mean, they change just because we changed the main ladder. Out of the fall, you know, because you got water coming in.
For like one of them, but that wouldn't carry all the way down for all of them.
You're talking the entrance, not the exit?
Exit. Yeah, the exit for the AFF. That
no.
exit ladder.
We have no means to do it besides yeah. what's coming in. But, you know, the ladder's up, so it should go up some.
There would be
I don't
more,
know if it's
yeah. I don't think that would carry all the way down the ladder and
might
be diminished as you
yeah,
go.
Might.
And I just we were looking at that yesterday and I'm not sure that Shad are going to exit through those weirs as effectively because the flow is kind of a plunging flow. I think the head on it was like 1.1 or thereabouts. Which is all, you know, that's good for salmon, but for shad, that might be part of, I don't know if that's a problem at all or not, but I was just looking at the characteristics of those weir, you know, Trevor pointed it out, but it just seemed like at least a couple of them looked like they were actually had a higher head on them than others, so there was variability there, but we know that can stop shad passage, or at least make it more difficult for shad to pass, and so maybe you throw on your list of items is to take a close look at the head of those exit weirs, those exit section weirs, and make sure that we get a good stream of flow on that. Maybe there's no way that we can do it. That could be one of the problems. It just may not be getting out of there.
What about resting areas? I mean, they're not shot at the rest center, so without having a lot of that, that would create an issue as well.
Yeah, it could be that they're just not getting effectively enough out of the. That exit ladder might be a problem. It doesn't look good for Shad. I mean, it starts to look like a ladder you might see on the on some eastern East Coast River, which doesn't have the Shad passage.
Yeah.
So it is something like that.
But they do get up there. They get in.
Yeah.
So
the grease trap is
open. Maybe it's not wrong. Okay. Sorry.
No, it's no problem at all. going along the lines of Shad and retrieving salmon in that area. We're also trying to address the challenges of the trash raking by enlarging the access hatch in the floor and improving the transition from the trash rack to the walkway grading and then over to the return pool drain. And the type of custom or user-friendly rate. And we're continuing to discuss other ideas on that as well, because it's a significant issue. And then, yeah, you know, adding an aluminum center divider to the observation box and cutting the neoprene to the 2BNS that came from the...
You're still going to do the scrap gauge?
Yes.
On the trash rack there, so they can get right to the gauge?
Yeah.
Okay. That'll probably be an FPP modification to have them rigged to a certain depth.
And we're also talking about expanding the rig, opening the rig more so you get better access to the
Yes. And that's it for now.
Okay.
So are we talking about kind of consistent effort? Is that what I'm hearing here as far as rigging the return valve, monitoring mortalities, facility? Right now, I don't think we have kind of a CPUE comparison, right? Was that one of the issues we get this year? You're raking in places we hadn't raked before, more frequently, reporting.
We're up to about 100 mortalities. Well,
yeah, and I'm thinking about next year, can we put in some protocols that would make it comparable year to year, or at least more so?
The critical issue with this thing, the salmon are, I mean, there's a lot of fish in the fickle bladder, so you're going to get mortalities. That's no excuse, but there are still, you know, one hell of a lot of salmon out there, so we're going to see that. But for lamprey, the lamprey mortality rate has been pretty bad. It's like 50 fish have died in that. You know, 40, 50 fish have died or have shown up dead.
Gary was hoping you were going to give us the number. You track it. Are you still trying to track that at all?
I am tracking it. I can't remember
the
number because it's, but I do have it all in a spreadsheet.
Yeah.
I'm losing track because it's starting to add up faster than I keep track.
Yeah, three more now.
Yeah.
MFRs to go through.
Is there a couple more?
I stopped keeping track after
three more.
Adult fish facility.
Awesome.
Would be important to try to do a good job.
Nearly total mortality from those seeds.
Awesome.
Put it in your annual report.
Anything else? I guess before we close, Catherine, you're here for the state of Oregon. Are you the new rep, or are you duties as assigned? Are you going to be the Fitterwig rep as well? What's
for the
step?
Time being, yeah.
So are you going to
Eric right away?
Eric and I are kind of splitting up the work group attendance right now.
Okay.
Whether we're going to refill our position is still kind of up in the air. How it will be refilled, it'll probably be refilled with something, but we're still working on that.
Okay.
Rick?
No. I haven't seen him on the river, so that's what I've seen so far.
Well, that kind of wraps up the meeting, and then there's the Avian meeting. If you guys want to have a break, those on the phone, thanks for calling in.
Well, Larry, do you want to get a quick power lunch?
Yeah.
If we power lunch, come back for Avian?
That's fine.
Okay. So maybe we start at 1, like 40 minutes.
You guys want to start in 40 minutes? Start at 1 o'clock?
Do like a kind of a quick lunch?
And because you need a lunch back here, you need to hear
more. Yeah.